Today's reading begins in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's our reading for today, but let's think about some of the things that Paul has stated here in Romans chapter 1. In the beginning of the letter, he is indicating that he has had a great desire to come to the Romans for some time. Now, most people date this as being around the end of his third missionary journey, probably written during his time at Corinth. So this would have occurred not long before he ended up being arrested and then appealing to Caesar and then the long voyage to Rome that we just finished reading about at the end of the book of Acts. In chapter 15, he indicates that he was delivering financial relief to the believers in Jerusalem during the famine, those that were in need. So that gives us some time frame as well. But throughout the book of Romans, there's a theme about unity. The church at Rome was a divided church between Jews and Gentiles. And so at a previous time, the Jews had been ordered to leave Rome. So the church there would have undergone some changes as it became all Gentiles, as the Jews left Rome. And when that decree was rescinded and the Jews were able to come back, then there would be a reblending. And in my opinion, that would have created some difficulties between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I think that's at least partly what Paul addresses within the book of Romans. He also stresses here in the beginning of the letter who he is, that he is Paul, not only a servant, but one who was called to be an apostle, who has striven to promote the gospel, preach the gospel, deliver the gospel anywhere that he could, and that he had desired to come to them and have a mutually beneficial relationship with them as he gets to know them. So after his intro, he's talking about this longing that he wants to come to Rome, and he speaks about the fact that he prays for them constantly, and he thanks God for them. And this seems to be a practice of Paul for all the churches and all the saints. He prays for them earnestly on a continual basis. But he says he's been prevented thus far from being able to come and see the saints at Rome. And he says that he's eager to preach the gospel to them because this is a gospel that he's not ashamed of. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, Jews and Gentiles. And from there he moves into the wrath of God that is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And he begins to describe the moving away from God by those that have abandoned him. God allowed them to make their own choices. He was not going to force them to be his servants. He's not going to force them to love him. He's not going to force them even to act in a righteous manner. But what he is going to do is let them make their own choices. So he was manifest. He was available. He was making himself known. It says his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the beginning, so they are without excuse. So although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God. They didn't put him in his proper place. They set him aside and got into idolatry. And from idolatry, they got into all manner of unrighteousness, including homosexuality and murder and all sorts of things. And it's interesting that man tends to think of sins in categories and think of them as degrees, one thing being worse than another. But here we've got homosexuality, we've got murder, we've got strife, we've got gossip, we've got slanderers, we've got haughtiness, we've got boasting, disobedient to parents. I mean, everything is in this list. There were no categories to say one was worse than the other, that, as long as you didn't murder somebody, you were okay. No, all of these sins are all lumped together for those that would choose to do what was unrighteous. And he says, not only did they practice these things, but they gave approval to those that practice them. It's a lot to think about. We need to be careful that we categorize ourselves and think, as long as I don't go this far, I'm okay. No, we must embrace righteousness and shun the unrighteousness. We must turn away. That's what repenting truly is. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.